This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Are you a Becky or a Rebecca? Do you ignore injustice if it doesn't affect you, or do you stand up for what's right? It's easy to say that we'd never be a Becky, and I'll tell you what that means in a minute. But anyway, it is easy to say that, but it's rarely that clear-cut. In their new sketch comedy show, The Rebecca Show, What If I'm the Becky?, Rebecca Fox and Rebecca Jackson Artis explore cognitive dissonance through themes like sexism, motherhood, sports, and more, and it's funny. It opens tomorrow at the Pure Life Theater in Raleigh, and it runs through March 22nd. Welcome, Rebecca Fox. Good to have you here.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
And Rebecca Jackson Artis, nice to have you as well.
Hello.
So now you can distinguish their voices because their names are hopeless, but Rebecca Fox, for those of us who are over the age of, let's say, 60,
okay.
What is a Becky?
A Becky is, as you said, someone who doesn't do the right thing, who just kind of looks out for themselves, can kind of, I guess, tolerate unending amounts of cognitive dissonance. Just is like, nope, nothing's wrong. Everything's fine. Just going to keep on going. And if it bothers me, I'm not going to fix it.
And this is a cultural touchstone, Becky. You didn't just make it up. This actually comes, the idea of the Becky is sort of in the air, right?
Yes, but I think Rebecca and I, Fox and I think we tweaked it a little bit, mm-hmm. though. We kind of added a little extra oomph to the definition of Becky and Rebecca.
Where does it come from, though? Why is it in the air
It comes
anyway?
From, well, first, it comes from the fact that growing up as a Rebecca, mm-hmm. and people wanting to call us Becky, and it's so awesome that I met another Rebecca who I'm like, you've never gone by Becky, and she's like, no. And it's like both of us have this thing like, oh, no. And anybody who goes by Becky, we still love you. Mm-hmm. You're awesome. But it's just something, it's an energy. With
yes.
how people call you when they call you Becky.
But culturally, like, I guess it comes from maybe hip-hop culture originally.
Yes.
To sort of be, like, shorthand for, like, probably usually especially a white woman who, like, does mm-hmm. not get it.
Yes.
And, like, is not, right?
I mean,
yes.
Sir Mix-a-Lot
yes.
may have helped
yes.
us
yes.
Frame
yes.
our thinking around this.
I think he popularized
yeah.
the term
I'm
Becky.
I wanted to be the old guy here and then let you inform me, but
well, and then
but I'm going to tell you,
Beyonce
I know this.
And then Beyonce kind of helped it.
And then Beyonce
continue
pushed it along
with, you know, Becky with the good hair. You know,
so how do you treat it?
Oh, thank you.
Exactly. So talk about your treatment of this, Fox. We'll do the last names now to distinguish
yes.
you. How do you treat this, and how did you come at this as a project?
Well, do you want to know, like, from the very beginning, how we met and how we decided to do it?
Not from the earth cooled, but start a little farther. Yeah,
sure.
Rebecca
Jackson Artis and I met through the Women's Theater Festival in 2018. I was in a staged reading and she was my director. And when she introduced herself, she had been in Chicago working at all the same theaters that I'd been working at.
Second City, I.O.
Yeah, all of these places with all the same people. And I was like, how did we not know each other?
Never ran
and this
into
was like
other.
The very first toe that I had dipped into the creative community here in North Carolina, and like instantly I met Rebecca Jackson Artis. So I was in this show in a stage reading with her, and then later we decided to write a show together.
Mm-hmm.
And because we had the same background in sketch comedy and in improvisation, and we thought this would be a great outlet for
and
us
she's
together.
Good. I don't work with just anybody.
We're both good.
Oh.
It really came about from conversations. I think we thought that we were going to be improvising scenes and coming up with characters and then tweaking it. But it really came from just sitting on my couch and talking about life.
Yeah, and I think it's because we have such an extensive improvisation and sketch comedy background that we didn't have to improvise. We could just take our stories and bring them to life.
Then how did the idea of the Becky, this idea, this cognitive dissonance, maybe we should talk a little bit more about what it is that you're getting at here. Because
yes.
it's more than just a kind of a lifestyle, a kind of a middle class lifestyle. It's this way of actually pushing out of your head precisely what is in front of you, you know?
Right.
Yes. Well, I would say, when Rebecca and I were sharing these stories with each other, our personal stories, we kept recognizing where we felt slightly frustrated, right?
Mm-hmm.
That the world was not as proactive as we maybe would like to see mm-hmm. it. not saying that we want everybody to act like a Rebecca. I mean, no.
Or but, that we are perfect for that
or
matter.
We're not saying that. Yes.
You know, that we
I think that's part of being a Rebecca is that
Becky
we know that
ourselves.
We have, yeah, we know we have more work to do. And we put this show together to acknowledge that there's cognitive dissonance in all of us. And whether we're aware of it and working on it or not is needed. And we have to laugh about it as we work on ourselves. That's crucial.
You have to laugh so you don't cry.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, can you give us a sample? Set up. Maybe you can give us a part of a sketch and show us the kinds of things you're dealing with.
Sure. This is a very brief little sketch. It's part of a runner, which is sort of like a recurring scene of this mother-daughter pair.
Yes.
And in this case, the daughter has a new baby. Oh, thank God you're here.
Oh, anything for my baby. Let me go wash my hands and then I'll let you get some rest.
Oh, could you please take your shoes off? Mom.
Yes? Oh, give me that baby. Oh, yes, please.
Why does she do that for you? Hey, Mom, will you please take off your shoes?
Oh, now why would I do something like that?
Well, since we've decided that we, you know, since we have a baby now, it just helps keep all the dirt and the germs from outside away from her.
Oh.
And out of the house, you know, it's cleaner.
Oh, since when have you been a cleaner?
Just since the baby. Mom.
Well, you never cared about cleaning when you lived in my house.
Mom.
My house, my dirty house where people wear shoes.
Your house was not dirty. That's not what I'm saying. The baby is going to be on the floor.
Well, before you put the baby on the floor, you just put a blanket down.
I know. I mean, later.
Well, you wore shoes your whole life. And look at you. You turned out okay. You turned out great.
Thank you.
I was a good mother.
Of course you were a good mother.
Even with my shoes on.
And scene.
Rebecca Fox and Rebecca Jackson, artists performing a sketch from their show, The Rebecca Show, What If I'm the Becky, opens tomorrow at Pure Life Theater in Raleigh. So there we've got the interaction. And, you know, a lot of it is the behavior, right? The ways in which we're sort of trying to be polite, but the effort and the energy that we go through to mask the dissonance or the pushing out of your mind of things that are unpleasant. That
yes.
takes a lot of work.
Yeah. Oh,
yes.
That takes a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. And that was something that Rebecca and I, we constantly talk about how we have to, you know, as Rebeccas, we can be a lot in mm-hmm. a room, mm-hmm. you know, and when we want to say something or do something, when we see injustice or when we see just something just not right, it takes a lot for us to pull back and then be the good person, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
You're like, oh, well, mm-hmm. maybe you should take off your shoes,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, yeah.
A little racism never hurt anybody.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, staying quiet. But yeah, that is sort of the question of like, do you want to use the energy to like squelch down those
right.
feelings
mm-hmm.
when you know something is wrong or like feelings of empathy? Or would you rather just go ahead and stick your neck out?
I think that's the interesting thing about this, because those feelings of empathy do well up. And they're painful, and nobody likes to feel when you see something wrong, and particularly if you don't think you can stop it, you know, you can't do anything about it. There's this swelling in the heart, right? There's this pressure against your chest. And to some extent, we would like never to feel that again. A couple of ways you can fix that, end the injustice
mm-hmm.
or pretend it doesn't exist, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's the difference
that's the
right
thing.
There between
yes,
Rebecca
it's
and a Becky.
Feeling uncomfortable. People do not want to feel mm-hmm. uncomfortable. But when you feel discomfort, you end up growing. And that's what people have to trust. Trust the process of getting through the discomfort through conversations, through reflection.
Through sketch comedy shows.
Yes.
Our sketch comedy show will make you squirm, but also laugh.
But also laugh.
Yes. And we're hoping that once people walk away, that they're like, you know what? I can't I have to work on me. Yeah. But again, we're not preachy.
No, it's not a prescription. No. It's not a cookbook.
Well, but that's what comedy is, and that's why the there's no real paradox here between comedy, between laughter and the pain of you know self-recognition, because in both cases you're talking about a boundary. I mean, comedy is funny because you've just crossed a line. So if the boundary isn't there, there's no comedy. If there's no crack, mm-hmm. right, then there's nothing to laugh at. And as mm-hmm. Leonard Cohen said, the crack is where the light gets in, right? So we get all that. But now, what about for you personally? You do this thing and it's successful for you. You've got the sketch comedy show on the road. Has it taken you deeper into your own selves now that you've explored these things?
I think so. I think that it's certainly made explicit for me what I hope had always been implicit, which is that I'm going to try every day to be maybe not the best person I can be, but, you know, to be on the side of what's good and right. And so I think more explicitly now. Occasionally, I now have sort of a shorthand where I'll be like, okay, what's the Rebecca thing to do in this situation?
But isn't that the heck of it? You're always doing, everybody's always doing the right thing. And it's by pushing out the pain of you know, somebody else's suffering
that
there's nothing wrong. Therefore, I'm doing
thing.
The right thing.
Yeah,
right.
they're doing the thing that's been said to be okay. But right. I think that, to do the Rebecca thing, I think, is to look into your conscience and mm-hmm. to look into your heart and into your morality and to do what you know deep down is yeah. right, to have a conscience.
And really, implement change. That's important because with your voice, with even how you say it, kind of pushing again into that uncomfortable zone, advocating for as many people as possible, realizing you coexist, and implementing change.
And I know, Jackson, you have talked about calling people by their last name.
Good,
is not easy.
That's
for
fine.
Me.
That's fine.
You've talked about your own Becky moment, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've had my own Becky moments. One of them is definitely my mom. She is a 2-time stroke survivor. And there are times when I want to just Becky out. And just not, and I'm right now I'm her caregiver because, she's now experiencing signs of dementia and some other things. But I have to realize that sometimes I have to go through those uncomfortable moments with her so that we can keep a peaceful bond.
It's a painful thing, isn't it? Because on the one hand, if you've repeated for the 95th time in the last minute,
exactly,
that it's right next to you.
Yes,
there's a certain frustration, there's also the pain of losing someone. And so what's underneath that is the pain of losing. Mm. And that's what the yelling is all about. And then you scold yourself, of course, because you shouldn't have done that.
You got it. You did a Rebecca.
Then you feel that moment because we've all had that moment and we can't repress that moment. We've done the thing we knew we shouldn't have done. And there's a real good reason for why we did it. And so let's just go ahead and feel that. Just go feel that darn thing and then go hug your mother.
He's a Rebecca.
Hug your mother.
Well, and it's a continual process.
I'm going to ask you about your Becky moments because I'm not going to tell you mine. we don't have that long. Well, what about you, Vox? Becky moments?
It's funny. I think that the most Becky thing that I can possibly say is to be like, well, I don't have any Becky-ish moments at all. There's just, everything is perfect and amazing. I would say that it's very Becky-ish. And I'm not going to help our cause right here. I think it's very Becky-ish to be pushing for a live theater show in the midst of COVID-19.
Well, there's that.
You
got to keep your chops up anyway, and then we can all make our own decisions about that. So I think that's a fair thing to say, but it's an interesting that you reflect on it as well. What about different audiences? Are there different places? I mean, I'm sure you play a college town like Chapel Hill, nominally progressive, although I know better. And then here come the emails, but I don't care. And then you can go to other places that might be more buttoned down. I mean, do you find differences in your audiences?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Chapel Hill, we knew we were going to get embraced. Although we did have some people in the audience that, were like, wait, what did you mean by that? Mm-hmm. They were kind of hesitant.
We do have a sketch that kind of lambasts the supposed progressiveness of Chapel Hill. And people were a little bit like, did that really happen in Chapel Hill? Yes, it did to me.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yes. Right. Rebecca has one that talks about the
people
cognitive dissonance that she's experienced as a Jewish person in Chapel Hill. We also have a sketch with two women who are very, very conservative. And, you know, and so there were some people that were like, what? Okay. I mean, they...
Are you making fun of me?
Right.
Yeah.
But, and then when we took it to New York, because we were in the NYC Sketchfest, we were like, oh, they're definitely going to, like, totally get it.
But we have a scene in which there's a parent-teacher conference, and there's been some curriculum that's really outdated and pretty racist. Mm-hmm. And the New York audience, you could tell, I mean, they liked it, but you could tell that there was a little bit of, like, that would never happen here.
Yes.
And it's like, there's racism
in pretty much every school system.
So I think they appreciated it, but there was a little bit, there was less laughter of recognition.
Do you do a lot of updating in the show as you move through?
Well, no, we just did a little.
We've done a few tweaks.
Yeah, because you know the election year, so we added a couple things. But
I'd say the show is relevant, but it's not so topical that it changes every week. It's not like a news cycle.
Well, there's some. Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's just some deep underlying sort of foundational things, and they can be mapped over just about any.
It turns
generation.
Out racism and sexism got solved. And so
you're out of work.
It's done.
That's our last show because we don't have anything else to talk about. Rebecca Fox and Rebecca Jackson, artists, are the creators of The Rebecca Show, What If I'm the Becky? It opens tomorrow at Pure Life Theater in Raleigh. It runs through March 22nd. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having us. And thank you to the Mandy Bites Dog Theater Fund.
Yes, thank you.
For making this remount possible.